And that leads me into today's sermon. Because here's the reality. When we're praying those impossible prayers, when we're praying those things that we ask God to be filled with and in and to guide us into in our lives, the reality comes and we ask the question, does God answer all prayers? Does God answer all prayers? Now, many of us understand that the Scriptures are filled with prayers and with answers to prayers and how God answers prayers. But does God answer all prayers? Well, the answer to that question is a resounding yes. You may not like how He answers them, but God answers every prayer that goes up before Him. And that's a reality that I hold dear in my heart. Now today I want to teach you some of those realities that we need to grab a hold of to make ourselves right so that when God gives us the answer, we're okay with the answer. All right? So turn in your Bibles, if you will, please, to John in the 15th chapter. John in the 15th chapter. And yes, today I'm going to have you go through the Bible. I felt that being our last sermon on this account, I really need to get you into the Word. And I want you looking these pieces up. And this is one of my favorite portions of Scripture. I don't know if y'all can see this, but if you look in my Bible, okay, this is one of my coloring book sermons. I can preach this Scripture right out of my Bible. I need absolutely no notes because everything's in here. This is one of my most favorite Scriptures, and it's where Jesus is talking about the vine and the branches. Okay? Now, I want you to go to one verse in there, because this one verse speaks to us on this very topic, and I want us all to grasp this verse and what it really says to us today, and that's verse 7. Look at verse 7. In the 15th chapter, he says, "Thus saith the Lord, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you." Let's read that together because I want to make sure you actually got that, all right? If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. Now, I want you to hear another translation. Mitch, would you please read the King James?
If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you.
Amen. Praise that. I love that word, abide. Abide. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. In other words, they take up residence. Okay? If we take up residence in Christ and His word takes up residence in us, then anything we ask will be given us. All right? Now, there's going to be a bunch of you out there, and you're going to say, okay, well, I trust Jesus as my Savior, and yeah, I believe His Word is right. That's not what this word's talking about. Because there's a whole lot of people out there that say that. Okay? We need to understand this as it's broken down. If you abide in Him, if you remain in His perfect will always, not sometimes, always. How many people here can raise their hand and say, I'm there 100% of the time? Thank you for being honest, because I can't raise my hand on that. All right? And the second portion says, His word is to abide in us, if His word remains in us. In other words, we are to be filled and fully guided by His word. Now, how many of us take everything we do to the Word of God and see whether it's a good thing or a bad thing and then do what the Word says? Thank you also again for being honest and not having a hand raised in the air, because that's the truth of it, isn't it? We wonder why our prayers aren't answered all the time, and right here is the reason why. God says if you want your prayers answered all the time, do these two very simple things. You know, He gave Adam and Eve one regulation, and they couldn't keep it. Here, He gives us two for prayer, and how many of us can keep them? And I dare say, in the world over, you will find that no one can raise their hands to these two realities, because all of us fall short. Amen? But praise be to God that He has given us Jesus Christ to cover over those areas where we fall short. Amen? And that's what I want to talk to you about today, because the reality is, the only way we get answered prayers is to add 1 and 2 and get equals all our prayers answered, right? The first aspect is abiding in Him, and the second aspect is His Word abiding in us. If we do those two things, every prayer you ask will be answered. And the awesome thing is, if that happens to us, I dare say our prayer life would be a whole lot different, wouldn't you? Because we wouldn't be praying selfish things. We would be praying a whole different verse of language. Our beings would be entirely different, wouldn't they? We would be a different person. Some of us are experiencing some of that transformation now. Hence the name of our church, the Heart of Christ Church, transforming lives to the heart of Jesus Christ, right? We are in the midst of progressive sanctification. And that's something this pastor understands is part of the call of the church within our world. And that reality pours over into prayers. Because I think it's amazing. Isn't it neat when we get the answers to prayers that we really want? How many of us are thrilled when we pray for something and we actually get it? Okay? We are, I know I am. I mean, when I see that answer, whether it's an impossibility or something very simple, I'm thrilled that God has answered my prayer in a positive manner that says, I get what I want. Let's be honest, aren't we? Okay. Let's look at then the 4 different ways that God answers prayer. Because when we can come to a reality with this in our sinful selves, we can come to a better grips that God really does answer all prayers. Because even though we don't get it right, God still answers every prayer that goes up. How does He answer those prayers? Well, the first way He answers them is immediately with the very request that is made. Turn in your Bibles to Mark in the 10th chapter. Turn in your Bibles to Mark in the 10th chapter. And by the way, for those of you who are wondering about my paper while you're turning there, my master's thesis is a synopsis of the Bible. I had to do a chapter of my paper for every book in the Bible. Okay, so there are 66 chapters in my paper, 17,050 words. How many of you want to read it? I'm going to make it available to you, that you will have it. If you want it, I need your email address, and I will simply email it to you. Not to boast, but to hopefully help you understand a little bit more of what God's taught me. Okay, because one of the realities is we're all to be teachers. Right? And you don't become a teacher by keeping your information all to yourself. You become a teacher by giving it away. Because it's not ours to keep, it's God's wisdom. Amen? So let's look into the Word of God here and gain His wisdom for our lives. From chapter 10, we are going to be looking at verses 46 through 52. 46 through 52. Thus saith the word of the Lord. Then they came to Jericho as Jesus and His disciples together with a large crowd were leaving the city. A blind man, Bartimaeus, that is the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, Son of David! Have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they called to the blind man. Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. Now notice Jesus' words. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." Jesus said, "Go, your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Now notice the command, all right? Jesus says, what? "You're healed." No, he didn't. He said, "Go," because he received his sight for a purpose. And that's what we need to remember. When God answers us immediately, he has a purpose for answering that prayer immediately, and he has something he wants us to do in regards to the answer to that prayer. Where did this gentleman go? Does anybody know? He followed Christ. He actually became one of the apostles. Many of us read this scripture and don't realize that. This gentleman, this blind man, became one of the apostles. When you and I understand that reality, God is going to answer your prayers. If he answers them immediately, he wants you to go. He wants you to do something. He has something for you to do. It's not receive it and rejoice and turn around and go back to what you had, but it's go into something different. It's go into the way of the Lord. And that's what this gentleman did. And you and I need to remember that, because what does that mean? That means that our answer to prayer, if it comes immediately, cannot be selfish. It is meant to be a sacrifice. It is meant to be given away. And that is something that I find most wonderful, okay? Because when God gives us something immediately, right now, he expects you to do something with it right away. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next year, now. And it so amazes me, because many of us receive, and hey, let's be honest. How many of you here have prayed for something and right away God answered it? And there it was. Because that's happened to me. And I know it's happened to many of you. What have you done with it? What have you done with it? That's the question God's going to ask. What did you do with what I gave you? Okay? We are to take it out and use it, all right? Many of us shove it down in our pockets and say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord." God says, get that thing out and give it away. When God answers prayer immediately, do something with it. Don't just sit on it, okay? God has something for you to do. The second way that God answers prayer in our day is the reality that sometimes he is delayed in giving us an answer. How many of you have ever experienced that one? Where you've prayed about something, yeah, you pray, and you're still praying about some of those somethings, amen? And you're waiting for that answer to prayer because he hasn't said no, he hasn't said maybe, you're just waiting, all right? And if you remember, I spoke the other week about you got to knock on the door sometimes. Okay? Sometimes God answers in delay. We'll get into that here in just a minute. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to John 11. All right? John 11. And this is a long scripture. This is a long scripture. This is John 11, verses 1 through 44. And most of us know this scripture. This is the story of Lazarus. Okay? Most of us know this scripture. So pastor's going to paraphrase it through, and then I'm going to pick out certain parts that I want you to hear the words, all right? Lazarus was sick. Jesus was told about it. But Jesus delayed in coming. He had work to do, and he was finishing that work. Jesus says, okay, it's time to go. So he went, but he tarried. He didn't go immediately. He took his time getting there. In fact, he even told his disciples, Lazarus is already dead, but we're going to go. Can you imagine being one of the disciples? Wait a minute, Lord. They wanted you to come to heal him. Why are you going now? He's dead. If we go now, we're just going to be scrutinized. We're going to be kicked and flogged because we didn't come. The family's going to hate us. Isn't that the way we react when we don't get what we want when we want it? Isn't that the way we react? Little babies throwing ourselves on the floor. I can remember walking into the mall one time with my family. All right, this is not a joke. This is when I was a little boy. And my little sister, because she couldn't have a Barbie doll or some little boobob, threw herself on the floor and started having a temper tantrum right there. And my mom, in all her infinite wisdom, just looked at her and said, "Man, there's something wrong with that kid," turned around and started to walk away. I stood there and laughed because I realized what my mom was doing. You know, that thing didn't belong to her. I'm out of here. And sometimes we need to have those little pity parties because God's building character in us. But God didn't stop there. He didn't just leave and then not show up, because Jesus did show up. And when he did, if we remember the story, he wept. Jesus wept. Was he weeping because Lazarus was dead and he couldn't do anything about it? No, he was weeping because he did not find any faith. He went there. They knew he was the Son of God. What does Martha say? "I know you are the Son of God, the Christ. And if you'd have only been here..." Well, excuse me, if he's the Son of God, the Christ, he is here. Where were you? That's the reality. We have run away from God and placed all our hope in this thing rather than upon him. And we need to get off that kick. We've got to get on to the reality that sometimes God makes us wait. That sometimes God needs to build character in us. He needs to build the individual in a spiritual manner that we are able to stand the test of time, lest we fall and can't get back up. In the story, turn to the end of it. From verse 23, Jesus is speaking to Martha here, and he says, "Your brother will rise again." And look what Martha says. She says, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." But Jesus says to her this, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die." Do you believe this? I'm asking you, do you believe this? Then why do we fret? Why do we worry? Why don't we trust and live in the peace of God? Because that's another one of the answers, and you're going to see that in a little bit. But you see, Jesus wasn't done here. That wasn't enough. God wanted to do something else. So he gets there and he says to them, he says, "Roll the stone away." This is in verse 39. And Martha says, "But he's been in there for 4 days. Lord, surely he stinketh." Now that's a reality pointing at us. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? That's a reality pointing at us. Because we have found ourselves self-loathing. We have found ourselves wanting and lacking. And before God, because there was no faith there, we stinketh. It's not a pleasing aroma unto the Lord. It is a souring aroma unto the Lord. But even God can deal with that. Because he knows we fall short. Amen. And Christ came to bridge that gap. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that Jesus is there, that when we fall short and we're laying there on the floor having our temper tantrum, he's not like my mom who walks away, but he walks over, picks that kid up and says, get it straight. Because I'm here and I'm going to take care of this. Look at what Jesus does. Look at what Christ does. Jesus says from verse 40, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. He's talking to you and I in these scriptures here, fellas and sisters. All right? He hears everything we pray to him. He is not neglectful. He's not deaf. You don't have to scream. He hears the groanings of your heart. But I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. Then, when he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Sometimes we have to die to the things of this world in order to live into the kingdom of righteousness. Amen? Sometimes God has to allow us to suffer a little bit until we can come to the reality that he is building character in us. And sometimes something has to die, and it's the flesh that has to die. Pardon me, I got a little dry there. When you and I begin to understand this reality, when we can come before God in our temper tantrums, in our pity parties, in our, oh, I just wish God would answer my prayer. He will. But are you going to trust him and abide in him and his word? Or are you going to complain and bark and bawl and boo-hoo? Please remember, I taught you all about this from the book of Exodus. When they were leaving, rather than going to God with their petitions, they grumbled one to another. And God gave them, oh my, I'm telling you right now, God gave them what they asked for. They wanted meat. God gave them meat, and while it was yet in their teeth, what? They died. Because sometimes we have to die to the things of this flesh in order to live in the Spirit. We are not meant to be physical people. Yes, we have a physical body. By that I mean we're meant to be spiritual people in this physical world. We are meant to be children of the kingdom here and now. And that means this flesh has to die. Take off the grave clothes. Put on the righteousness of Christ and live in that eternal fashion now. But sometimes God has to make us wait because he's got to get us through our own stuff to get us there. Some of us are in those throes right now. How are you going to look at where you are now in light of the scripture and what God's trying to teach us? Because sometimes he says, you got to wait because you're not ready to receive it yet. Okay? I want you to think about it this way. A lot of the men who get into sports, especially football and basketball, you know, they're paid millions of dollars, baseball, paid millions of dollars. They've never had a penny in their lives. And they are spending it as if it were water. Now, I got to ask you a question. If you were making, you know, the one gentleman in particular that I know of, $23 million over the next 5 years, that's more than I'll make in three lifetimes. And he's going to make that in 5 years. And at the end of 5 years, he'll be lucky if he has any of it left. How can you spend that much money? When the flesh is in control, you spend it all. There's nothing left. God says, get out of the flesh because I'm giving you eternity. I'm giving you the treasures of heaven. I'm giving you everything in creation. It's yours. But you need to be prepared to receive it. Otherwise, you're going to spend it just like the prodigal son. And if we don't spend it, if we just sit there at home and say, oh, I've been obedient, Lord, I've been obedient. Where's my blessing? Now we're being the other son. We need to remember, when you're the son who stays at home, everything that's there is yours. Enjoy it. It's been given unto you. Take the advantage. Pray those prayers. Receive the blessings. But remember, sometimes God needs to teach us something. Sometimes He wants to use us to teach others something as well. So sometimes there's a dual purpose in waiting. Isn't God cool? Because His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. We are so stuck in this flesh. Even though we're trying to live a life in Christ, we're still stuck in this flesh, aren't we? This tent. If we could just get rid of this tent. I think Paul said that. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And what a glory that would be. But I'll stay here as long as I have to. But not for my sake, but yours. Because everything we do is meant to be given away. You know, that's one of the biggest problems in the church today. We want everything given to us. So many people come to church to get something during the sermon, to get something during worship. That's not why you're here. You are here to give unto God your all. You are here to give unto Him the glory that He has placed within you. You are here to give unto Him honor and praise. You are here to give unto Him the understanding of your hearts. You are here to give unto Him the obedience of your lives. You are here to give unto Him all that you are, all that you will be, and all that you can be if you're willing to walk in that reality. Ready? Are you wanting? Then give it up and let God be in control. Abide in Him and allow His word to abide in you. He'll answer every prayer you ever ask, because your prayers will be right. Your prayers won't be selfish. Your attitudes, your entire being will be changed. But we're stuck in this flesh. So we got to go back and figure out how God answers prayer. Well, the first one is immediately. When our prayers are right and we're walking right with Him, there are times He answers immediately. Other times, He says, now you got to wait. You got to wait. Things got to change. I got to mold you a little bit. Something else has got to happen. And now I'll give you the answer to your prayer. But guess who gets changed in that whole process? How many of us love change? Raise your hand if you love change. And I'm not talking quarters, nickels, and dimes. Okay, it's so funny because we want everybody to change to our liking, right? But we don't want to be the one to change. We talk about a world where there would be peace. How many of you really would like peace? Because that means your enemies would be your friends. Well, I don't think I like that, Lord. Yeah, I don't, you know, I just don't like that person. Well, guess who needs to change? You, me, all of us, to the image of Christ. Hence the name of this church. The heart of Christ Church. Isn't it amazing? Yes, it is. Well, the third way that God answers prayer is the one way that none of us like to hear. And that is when God says no, emphatically and totally no. But Lord, no, no, no. How many of you have ever seen the billboard that says, what about no, don't you understand? Okay, first time I saw that billboard, I fell in love with it. I said, oh man, there's a lot of people that need to hear that. Then I realized he was talking to me. Because every one of us needs to be able to accept no. I read a joke one time where this little boy grew up thinking his name was No-No. Think about it. When you were a little kid, how often, you know, I can remember when Russell was little. No, no, no. No, no, no. You know, we all have that time when we put everything back onto the, as far away from the edges of the tables and stuff as we can, and we're constantly running around. No, no, no. We hear it most often, but we accept it not. But God says sometimes you have to accept no, okay? And sometimes the reason we hear no is because we don't have those two principles right. We're not abiding in Christ, and His Word is not abiding in us, and we are not abiding in His Word. Amen? So there's sometimes the answer no comes because we're not walking right with God. Other times the answer is no simply because it's God's choice. You know, I would that everyone be healed, all right? But we also know that while Christ was here on this earth, He didn't heal every person that came before Him. He healed those that the Father directed Him to heal. But in no, God gives us solace. And you need to hear this, okay? Turn in your Bibles to Philippians 4. Turn in your Bibles to Philippians 4. Verses 6 and 7. Ephesians, or Philippians chapter 4. I was in Ephesians. I had to get out of there. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. The Lord tells us thus: Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. When God says no, like I said, sometimes we're just not right with God. We are not abiding in Him, and His Word is not abiding in us. And therefore, He can't answer that prayer, and He just simply says no. But other times, we are abiding in Him. We do have that right connection. Everything is falling into place, but God still says no. Because He's God. He can say no. He knows the plans that He has for us. This is my life verse, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for a hope and a future, and not to harm you. Okay? And we need to hold on to that. That sometimes God has a bigger plan than what we have. That through these things that are happening in our lives, and some of them are terrible, God has a greater glory planned. Why? Because of the very word we just read. That word that says that He will guard our hearts and minds, right? It says that He will give us a peace that transcends all understanding. Sometimes God just wants us to dwell in that peace with Him, that from even our sufferings, we know He is God and He's in control. And from that, we can comfort a world that's hurting. I want you to think about that. Lest we suffer and the world not know it, how can we talk to those who are suffering? Jesus did it, didn't He? Did God take the cross away from Him? If God didn't take the cross away from the Christ, who are we to think He's going to take all our perils away from us? His very Son died. But we need to remember, He didn't stay dead, did He? Neither too do we. For He is the resurrection. And in His resurrection, we have that hope that eternity is ours. It doesn't matter how long we're here on this side of the grave. This is but a blink of an eye. This is but a flash in the pan. It ain't even that. Because when we are in His presence, we will be there forever. And we will be restored in such a way that there will be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more hurt, no more dementia. Praise God. Because I've been going crazy these past couple of months. Too much to think about, not enough gray matter to put it into. I was told by a boss one time, you know, I've remembered so much that whenever I put something new in, something falls out. I feel that way. Dear God, I feel that way. But I pray I never have that happen with the realities of Christ in my life. I pray those are the things I keep, that those are the things I hold on to. And that's my prayer for you. That sometimes God says no, but He gives us a peace that transcends understanding, okay? And God also says something else to us. Because not only does He want us to have peace in the know, but there's something else He wants us to have also. Please turn to 2 Corinthians 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. The peace comes first when we're willing to accept it, all right? The peace comes first when we're willing to accept it. And then this second portion is added unto it. And this is part of the reality of who God is and who He wants us to be. And I know some of these things are hard to accept because we cling to life. But we need to remember we have eternal life. Life in this physical realm is temporary for everybody. Nobody, say the rapture, makes it out alive except two people. Who were they? Elijah and Enoch. Very good. And they're going to be the two witnesses who come back at the end. And then they get stoned. But even they don't die because they come back to life again. In Christ there is no death. But what does God say to us in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verses 7 through 10? And I want you to read this with me, all right? Read it with me. To keep me from becoming conceited, because of these surpassing great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but He said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties, for when I am weak, then I am strong." Wow. That takes a whole new understanding. That takes it to a whole different level, doesn't it? Because from these things, God is building in me the eternal nature. That's what that says. Because from these difficulties on this side of the grave, God is building in me the internal condition that I trust fully in Him, that there is nothing that can come my way that I don't believe He is Lord and Master over, and that He can get me through. And I submit myself to them. And from that submission, then the peace that surpasses understanding takes hold. And we are able to walk as witnesses of the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ in this world unto the next. Folks, there's a reason God says no. And that reason is to help us understand who He is and that nothing in life holds us back, even death itself. If there's a group of people that should never, ever fear death, it's those who call themselves by the name of our Lord and Savior, Christians. Now, that doesn't mean we rush into it like fools, all right? That doesn't mean jump out in front of the bus, and I'm speaking metaphorically there, all right? You know, you don't rush into harm's way. But throughout time, we know of instances in Rome, when Rome was going through the Black Plague, all right? Who left Rome? Everybody, even the emperor left. Guess who stayed? The Christians. The people who were being fed to the lions stayed at the risk of their own peril. Many of them died because they stayed to take care of those who were sick. And even Nero himself said, "What a strange lot of people." I think Jesus said that too, right? We're to be a what? Peculiar people? Because those Christians did not fear death, but they knew they needed to be there to comfort those who needed comfort with the comfort that they themselves had received. I think the scripture says that. Folks, sometimes the answer is no. But the no doesn't just come for no reason. The no comes so that we may be an example and a glory unto the Lord, even in the no. The final way that God answers prayer, and this is one that many of us, again, don't like, is the fact that we pray for peanuts and God gives us peanut butter. Okay? We pray for chocolate and He gives us vanilla. We pray for riches and He gives us poverty. All right? We pray for something and God gives us something other. And that's because God's will is above our own. God's ways and God's thoughts are higher than our ways and higher than our thoughts. There are times that I have prayed for this thing, but I've received another. And when it first came, I thought, I didn't want that. But after walking in it and with it, I found that, I'm glad I got that. Because if I'd have got that, Lord, you are so smart. And He looks down and says, about time you start realizing that. You know, y'all heard, if you've been with me for a while, you've heard when I was 8 years old in school, I wanted to marry Bonnie Schellenberger. I thought she was the most beautiful young lady in all the world. I was 8 years old. I think I was in second grade, something like that, second, third grade maybe. I'm not sure, six, seven, eight. It would be second, third grade, something like that. And I just thought she was, she was sliced bread, you know what I mean, with hot toast with butter, you know, all that. Am I so glad God did not let me have the answer to that prayer? To be married at 8 years old, oh my Lord, what a life that would have been. But instead, He allowed me to grow up. And He led me to the woman who would be my bride, my wife. And in January of next year, we will celebrate 30 years of being together. I do, every day, because I'll tell you what, she is definitely a saint to have put up with this old guy for 30 years. We talk about it often. You said, you know, we've been together longer than we were single. Yeah, I know. But the reality is it does not seem like it. Those years have flown by so quickly. I mean, I look at my son and see a 24-year-old kid, and it's like, wow, Lord, that is so awesome. When did that happen? You know? And it's the reality of our lives. Sometimes God answers us differently. Sometimes He doesn't give us exactly what we want. Turn to the book of Romans. Turn to the book of Romans in the 5th chapter. I taught on this and taught on this, and you're going to hear it again throughout time because it is a principle of Scripture. Okay? One of the things I love to do is pull out the principles of Scripture. And this is one of the principles of Scripture, Romans 5, 1 through 5. Through the Holy Spirit, the Lord speaks to us through the Apostle Paul, and thus saith the Lord, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice, and this is the one we all love, in our sufferings. Because we know that suffering produces perseverance. perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. God wants us to contend for our faith. He doesn't give us everything we want. And he wants us to persevere through these trials and these tests, and in the hopes that we would look unto him and know that what he is giving us is the good he wants us to have. Because if he gave us what we deserved, the judgment would be a whole lot different. Amen? So let us not get so full of ourselves that, but Lord, I did this. Yeah? Yeah? Let me tell you what else you did. We don't want to hear that list, do we? Remember, God's not into bartering. He wins every time. God is in to submission and surrender. God is in to obedience. God is in to his people treating him as who he is. He's not our holy buddy. Yes, he is closer than a friend, but he is God, most holy. And that we can never lose sight of. And may we hold on to these realities, knowing that God does answer every prayer you send up. We just may not like the answers because we're not all there yet. But that's what God's working us towards through this progressive sanctification that he brings into our lives. So the answer comes back. Does God answer all prayer? Yes. Every prayer is answered by God. We just don't like the answer at times because we do not always abide in him or his word in us. Amen. But may we know that he loves us so and sent his son to be our Savior.